Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Hundreds of Massachusetts residents experiencing homelessness during the pandemic have spent time living in a hotel or motel. The properties have been used as COVID isolation facilities and to reduce crowding in shelters. Some advocates and state leaders wonder if hotels and motels could be the answer to making homelessness safer and shorter overall. WBUR's Lynn Joliker has more.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Tracy Williams beams as she welcomes guests into the 300-square-foot hotel room in Brighton she's sharing with another woman.
You can sit down.
She sees it as something of a lifeline.
I think this is an awesome place, a step up from being in a shelter, because here it's just me and my roommate. And I really believe that it helps with the transition.
The transition from homelessness to, hopefully, her own apartment. Williams is 60. She estimates she's spent half of her life homeless, in and out of housing, as she's struggled with substance use disorder. She says she gave up her last apartment 4 years ago, after she was raped there.
I just left everything. I didn't go back. I couldn't function.
Williams went to Pine Street Inn's women's shelter in Boston. Last winter, shelter workers asked if she'd like to move to Charles River Inn. Pine Street is running the hotel as a temporary shelter during the pandemic. Williams says the move to the hotel shelter gave her hope.
I just came in here and I hit the floor running. I school, work, I just did everything I needed to do.
That included meeting regularly at the hotel with case managers to look for housing and stay connected with services. Williams is in a job training program and methadone treatment. She says it's a lot easier to address personal challenges when living in a quiet, comfortable space. According to the Massachusetts Housing and Shelter Alliance, approximately 1,000 hotel and motel beds have been leased as shelter space during the pandemic. About 600 are still in use, paid for with state and federal funds.
This is a new piece of strategy that really helped.
Jerry McCafferty is director of housing for the city of Springfield. She says early in the pandemic, Springfield hired outreach workers to ask people living outside if they would come in to a motel or hotel. This is what those outreach workers heard.
Like, oh, yeah, that I'll go to. I won't go to a shelter, but that I'll go to, sure.
The response was remarkable.
I can't think of a single instance where someone said no. So we found someone in a park here who had been severely mentally ill and had been really off the grid and had been living outside for 13 years, never interested in any conversation, never interested in any services, but the hotel room he was willing to take. And he's someone who is now moving toward housing.
According to McCafferty, that's happened over and over again. Springfield's had an easier time bringing people into hotel and motel-based shelters and more success moving people out of those facilities into permanent housing with services to support them. One of the shelters is in a Motel 6 near a busy intersection in Holyoke. It's run by the nonprofit Center for Human Development. The organization's Teresa Nicholson says the individual rooming approach is a critical option for people who can't manage in typical group style or congregate shelters.
Sometimes it's folks that have severe addiction, or it could be folks that have severe mental illness. So we bring in recovery coaches, mental health professionals that just give folks an opportunity to talk about their experience and have an opportunity for change.
Guests have to leave the property to use drugs or alcohol. Nicholson says they're given multiple chances to abide by the rules if they struggle. There have been challenges for some people without constant supervision. Staff has administered Narcan twice to reverse overdoses, and one guest died from an overdose at the motel.
And then sometimes that prompts someone else to say, I'm ready for help. Everybody deserves a chance, and everybody deserves to have permanent housing. And so if this can be their step and we can help them become safer on that journey, then that's what we're here for.
Homeless service providers say leasing hotels, motels, and even college dorms during the pandemic proved safer and healthier from the start. COVID numbers in the shelters dropped, and providers said they didn't want to go back to the way things had been. State Representative Natalie Higgins of Leominster says she's seen success at a hotel shelter in her district, and she wants this model to become the standard. She has sponsored a bill that calls on the state to transition away from congregate homeless shelters within 5 years.
My dream is the shelter transitions to something that looks a whole lot more like housing. And our hope is that shelter never becomes a long-term solution, that it is a place to get stabilized, it's a place to get connected with programming.
There's resistance to Higgins' bill from some shelter leaders. They say they're worried they could be forced to remodel or rebuild without proper funding or an overall plan from the state. Higgins' legislation also calls on the state to scale up permanent housing for vulnerable populations. And many advocates say that is where energy and funding should be focused.
If you can get a hotel or if you can get a building, it should be all about housing.
John Yazwinski is president and CEO of Father Bills and Mainspring. The nonprofit runs emergency homeless shelters and permanent housing programs on the South Shore. Early in the pandemic, the organization rented a struggling hotel in Brockton for some of its shelter guests.
It's very quiet. Yeah. Compared to
Father Bills and Mainspring then went a step further. It purchased the hotel to convert it to 69 units of permanent supportive housing. It's the first time a homeless service provider in Massachusetts has done that.
So this is kind of a completed area, and you can just see the difference of how light it is and refreshing it is.
So far, 17 people have moved in as tenants. 73-year-old Ray Allen Gessler is one of them. When we stop into his apartment, he's doing one of his favorite things, watching an old movie.
Courageous, alert, skillful, and efficient.
A Ronald Reagan film, Hellcats of the Navy.
You were not equipped for the responsibility of command because you seemed incapable of making.
These are my movies.
Wow, you got a lot of DVDs.
And that's my TV I bought.
Gessler also shows us his kitchenette, stocked with everything from spices to frozen meats.
And then here, my canned goods.
He says he became homeless several years ago when his marriage failed. Injuries from an accident kept him from working. Now, Gessler's just happy to have a small space he can call home.
What's the best part of it, having your own place?
You get to clean it, you get to cook your own food, and decide when you want to go to bed and when you don't.
You said you get to clean it. You like to clean it?
Yeah. That's part of the good part.
The good part for Father Bills and Mainspring is that it's converting the hotel for about half of what it normally costs to develop affordable housing. That's because the bones of the rooms and bathrooms were already there. The project was funded with state dollars and private grants. Yazwinski of Father Bills says the whole thing happened in record time. It helped that the nonprofit has deep experience both developing and operating housing properties. And the local community supported the project. Yazwinski says smaller homeless service organizations often run into resistance and financial roadblocks. He hopes that will change and that this moment won't be lost.
We don't want hotels to go out of business, but if it's going to be a place that sits, you know, or struggles, then let's look at it as a great opportunity. This is the most excited we've ever been about, like, we know it works. It's time to end homelessness. Let's all get the political will needed at the local, state, and federal level to do it now.
There's a big pool of money to help. The state has dedicated $150 million in federal funds from ARPA, the American Rescue Plan Act, to the development of permanent supportive housing. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Lynn Joliker.